Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Run Ball Project. I'm obviously Neil Simons, and I'd just like to advertise my Patreon, in which 75% of proceeds this month go towards the UNICEF COVID-19 appeal, which will help those in disadvantaged communities across the world. By chipping in a couple dollars per month, you'll be access to many, many, many rewards, such as having your name read out on each podcast, and you will get exclusive access to our guests before each podcast. Have a fantastic day, and if you could just chip in a bit of money to help me fund the podcast and bring you a fantastic listening experience, that would mean the world to me. And I'm delighted to be welcomed by Kevin Milstein from the Reagan Milstein Foundation. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. How are you, Neil?
I'm fantastic. How's isolation going for you at the moment?
Well, it's challenging. It's challenging. Look, thanks for having me on. Just before you go on, I have to say I love your intro. I was actually at the stadium when all of that happened, and it was one of the best nights of my life, I can tell you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I actually remember, I think I just ran home from I think it was a bar mitzvah or something, and saw that Teresi goal. I think Juric was, that was unbelievable. Oh, unbelievable evening. But
the way that Juric dug it out of that corner and did not give up and passed it on, and I thought, that's the way Australians should be playing the game, because that's the way Australia does it. They just don't give up.
I would say, besides that, I'd say probably that'd be our best moment since the two KO goals in the 2006 World Cup.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep.
But anyway.
Anyway. Yes.
It's all good. So you obviously are heavily involved in the Reagan Milstein Foundation. Yeah. Could you just please explain to us the Round the Ball Project, Faithful, what is the Reagan Milstein Foundation?
Okay, first of all, Reagan Milstein Foundation is named after my late son. We went to the World Cup in South Africa in 2010, and on the way back, we stopped off in Malaysia and just did to do a few days of diving, which was not unusual in the family. We're all certified divers. Unfortunately, Reagan had an accident, a diving accident. He went into a coma. He was medevaced to Singapore and then eventually to Australia, and unfortunately passed away about 3 weeks after the accident. We were sitting around and obviously contemplating what could be while we were waiting in hospital, and then it just through my mind was going that if the worst thing ever happened and we lost Reagan, how could we keep his name alive? And unfortunately, when we did lose him, I went to the family and I said, look, I've been thinking of doing something. We know he loved his football. We know he loved to help people. And so therefore that it was just like a germ or just a seed that sort of grew into the Reagan Milstein Foundation. A few weeks later, Football Victoria helped us to put the foundation together, and we launched it on his birthday back in 25th of November 2010. And with the idea of helping kids in less fortunate communities to be able to get into the world game, what kind of developed, which we didn't realize at the time, was this idea of collecting boots and uniforms from around Australia. And what I say collecting is like it could be used boots, it can be unused boots, it can be the same with uniforms from clubs where, you know, clubs have got lots of stock in their garages, or maybe it's just they're changing over their uniforms, and collecting all of that football gear and sending it off to less fortunate communities. In the time that we've been going, and we're coming up to 10 years this year, we've covered well over 30 countries, countries in Africa, South America, Southeast Asia, and even as far as Dandenong. We do local groups that come to us as well and just ask, you know, they're putting together, like it might be a migrant group that want to put together a futsal team for their community, and they just come along to us, have you got some uniforms? And we kit them out in uniforms. Look, proudly I have to say that Reagan's name is pretty well recognized in many communities right around the world. And, we've been scoring a lot of goals in that time.
I think you haven't really seen a lot of footballing foundations based on this principle of giving back to the community. I believe that, you know, through my experience of growing up within the Melbourne footballing community, the Reagan Milstein Foundation have been of absolute paramount importance for the, you know, foundational aspects of our game. Definitely being involved in club football at a young age, and also Reagan also went to my school as well. So to see his legacy carried on through such a wonderful ways and ideas really sets the basis for our charitable foundation today in general. So I'd just like to ask you, sure, how do you get in contact with these communities across the world, and with obviously within Australia? I think Africa is one of the more prevalent regions. Is that correct?
Yeah. Look, it actually started off in a very funny way. The very first place that we went to was Tonga in the South Pacific. And how we ended up there was a friend of mine that was involved with the ambassador of Israel had heard that we were setting up this foundation for sporting purposes and came to me and said that the Israeli government were doing some presentation to the Kingdom of Tonga in regards to some of their agricultural needs and wanted to know if we'd be interested in sort of hooking in and doing sporting needs. And so, why not? Sounds like a good idea to me. And so off we went. We sent off a pallet load of gear to Tonga with the help of the government of Israel and did our presentation there to the Crown Prince, who is actually now the King of Tonga. It kind of just took off from there. So we started getting in contact with different, it started off in the South Pacific first, like Tonga, as I said, and then it went to, we went to Samoa next, and then Vanuatu, and then it kind of just grew on its own. It like was a snowballing effect. Eventually when word got around to Africa, then we started really getting a lot of calls for it, and from all sorts of different communities in Africa. But we've also worked hand in hand with different football associations in different countries, as well as working right at the grassroots level. And I really do mean grassroots, in rural places in Africa, in the South Pacific, in Southeast Asia. And we also collaborate with lots of other people. There's a group that we work with that support villages in Vietnam. Well, they always come along to us before they go and do their trip to Vietnam and stock up on some gear that they take, you know, like 30, 40 kilos of gear with them on their flights. I've also got a good friend that works in Eastern Europe with different missions over there, particularly with the refugee camps over there. They've taken over football gear with them. Look, when you're dealing with a world game, it's so simple. You've got a ball and that's all you need, you know. Like, okay, we also produce bibs with the Reagan Milstein Foundation logo on it. It's so simple. You just basically give someone a ball and two packets of bibs. You know, here's green and here's orange, and off you go, and you can make a team and just, or two different teams, sorry, you know, an orange team and a green team, and they just play against each other in anywhere in the world. I've seen it happen. It's just so simple and so beautiful.
I think within these African communities, there are so many talented footballers that have come out of Africa in general. Mm. And to give these guys the resources to succeed, even if it's just a bib or a ball or boots, to give these guys the resources to them for them to be then move into these leagues professionally. You've seen guys like, I don't know off the top of my head, Sadio Mane, barely came from nothing, to give these guys opportunities. Yep. And to give the less fortunate, to give back to the community. Yep. Especially in regions such as Africa, Tonga, Southeast Asia. Yep. It's so heartwarming to see from a from a neutral perspective or anyone. But I'd like to ask you, I think in 2013, I'm not entirely sure, you formed partnerships with many football clubs and many foundations connected to the football clubs.
Yep.
Just to tell us about that.
Well, I suppose 2013 was a pretty special year for everyone involved with football, particularly in Melbourne, and that's when Liverpool came out for the first time ever. And as we all know, they packed out the MCG with 96,000 odd people. And what happened along the way was that when that hype all started about Liverpool coming out, then a friend of mine contacted a friend of his who was involved in the football world and just said, look, is there any chance of getting Liverpool to come to, they have a facility in Caulfield, and they said, any chance of having Liverpool come and do a couple of sessions at this facility? And this friend of his said, well, look, you know, if you can hook on a charity onto it, then there might be a better chance. So so my friend said, well, why not the Regan Milstein Foundation? And they said, yeah, okay. So this was presented to Liverpool. They liked the idea. They came along and ran a couple of sessions at this facility in Caulfield. And then that night, lo and behold, it was a huge surprise to me. I get this email from Liverpool asking if we'd like to be their charity partner in Australia. And it's like, whoa, okay. I mean, who wouldn't want to be? You know, one of the biggest football clubs in the world, one of the biggest clubs in the world, full stop.
Most successful too.
Yeah, yeah. And recognizable. And that's, I think, the point more than anything. And really, ever since that time, you know, we've been the charity partner for Liverpool in Australia, and it's had its ups and downs just like anything else. I think, I don't know if you were there that night, but after we ran the sessions...
I was there.
Oh, right, okay. So after we ran those sessions in Caulfield, there were supposed to be some players that were supposed to have turned up to those sessions, and they couldn't make it. So what happened was is that the organizer from Liverpool said, okay, well... He had a couple of hundred tickets. Oh, that's right. They were going to be running training sessions at the MCG that evening. So he had these
tickets. Yes, they had the open training session.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So basically what he said is, okay, all of the kids that were there at the sessions that the Liverpool Academy were running, he had tickets for them. He said, right, all of you put on a Regan Milstein bib, you're all going to the MCG, you're all going to get on the ground with the players and have a group photo with the players. I mean, that must have been something spectacular. I actually couldn't make it to the MCG straight after. I was involved with, look, to tell you the truth, I was so involved with getting this whole thing together, and it was such an emotional event for me with Regan that I actually just, I couldn't make myself go to the MCG. I was just so emotionally tied up with the whole thing, but all of my family went, my wife and everyone, and Reagan's mother as well, and I think it was a hell of an experience to be out there with the whole team right in the middle of the MCG. I mean, you tell me about it.
I don't know how old I was then, but I'm a self-admitted Manchester United fan, and
we're not all perfect.
I wasn't really that ingrained in football at the time.
Yep.
However, when you hear You'll Never Walk Alone and 95,000 people, it's really unrivaled atmosphere. I actually remember I got the Steven Gerrard goal on my phone, which was great.
Yep.
But honestly, life-changing experience. But I would also like to speak about Celtic FC, Scottish Giants, up there with Rangers.
Yep.
I believe you formed a partnership with them too, is that correct?
Yeah, look, the aim of the foundation is to always bring opportunities to kids that can't get those opportunities. It doesn't mean that it's just a less fortunate kid in a poor village in Africa. It could also mean that there's a kid next door that, you know, maybe, as you kind of pointed out yourself, you know, there's talent around and they never get the opportunity to show off their talent or maybe to practice their talent. So there's any opportunity that we could find to twist it around so that it gets to kids that never get these opportunities. So the opportunity came through someone to bring Celtic Academy coaches out to Melbourne or to Victoria, and to take them to regional areas around Victoria and to let them run their sessions around. And so we tried that, we took them to, I've got to think, it's Ballarat. I know we went over to Mount Gambier in South Australia. Some other place I'm missing off the top of my head. But anyhow, out of all of that, like the idea was to choose a player or maybe two, but particularly certainly at least one player that would get invited to go over to Celtic and train with their academy in Scotland. So not only did we bring the coaches out and we let the kids out there, you know, enjoy the sessions and partake in this, really, it's quite astounding the level of expertise that the Celtics and the Liverpools, their academies really have. They really know what they're doing, really, really.
Sorry to interrupt. Like, they've unearthed talent. Tom Rogic is a prominent Socceroo now. Who else is there from Celtic? I think Scott McDonald, Mark Viduka as well, actually. That Australian talent that Celtic have produced, Jackson Irvine as well.
Yeah.
Those players that they've produced are of high quality, and especially, I think, going from, you know, the suburban areas to these other areas like Mount Gambier. I'm not sure. And Dandenong and these less funded areas, to bring these Titan European clubs and to give these kids opportunities to even just mix with these academy coaches is such an unbelievable opportunity.
Agree. And that's the point of it. It's just really to open up the doors and try and open opportunities on both ends, quite frankly. It's really to sort of, so that the kids can sort of showcase some of their talents, or even if they're not that talented, at least learn a few new tricks from these coaches, but also so that the coaches from these different clubs come out here and just see what it's all about and just sort of get the lay of the land and see what opportunities they can create as well. I think all too often, and I'm coming from a grassroots level, okay? I think all too often is that we get tied up in winning trophies. Let's put it that way.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's true.
In just winning trophies and just aiming on, you know, focusing on the trophies without actually focusing on what is actually good for the kids in football. And I just, look, my personal belief is that if you can make it good for the kids, then you are going to get the trophies in the end. It just takes that much longer, that's all.
I would just like to embellish on who's actually involved within the Reagan Milstein Foundation. I think just to go on the side, formed a partnership with the Melbourne Victory Women a couple of years ago. In terms of ambassadors, who have you currently got ambassador-wise at the moment? I looked on the Reagan Milstein Foundation website, which I'll link in the bio.
Yep.
But you've got plenty of ambassadors. Just to sort of embellish on that, what do these ambassadors play? Like, what's the role that they play?
Oh, look, they're spokespeople, quite frankly. I mean, they're looking for opportunities that maybe they can, you know, pass along to us. Now that could be quite simply, as I said, we do a lot of uniform and boot collections. So maybe they've got local clubs that come to them and just say, oh, you know, we're changing over our uniforms. Would you like these 400 shirts or whatever? And then they contact me and then I arrange that. On the other side, we've got an ambassador in Africa. We've got in the South Pacific as well. And so it's really going out to them and saying, hey, look, here's these opportunities, you know, can we work together on trying to create something? Look, at the end of the day, look, you know, unfortunately, everything's all about money. So it's you know, how can you get things to these people? Or how can you collect things from other people? And everything costs in the end. So there's positives and negatives out of all of it. I could see, if I could wave my magic wand, my God, I mean, there are so many opportunities out there to be creating things within different communities. Really, there's It's unlimited, honestly unlimited. Interestingly, today with obviously the current situation with the coronavirus and that, you know, people can't go out, etc., it's going to be interesting to see how all of that turns around in the new world, whatever our new world is going to look like.
I think it'd be a great opportunity. Sorry to interrupt. I think it'd be a fantastic opportunity for the foundation to, you know, expand for sure. Because especially, well, I think it's going to be an inevitable financial crisis, you'd expect.
Yeah, look, yes, and just reading today about what the sports in Australia are starting to look at over the next 6, 12, 18 months, what they're going to have to try and look at, playing without spectators and all of that kind of stuff. For how long, we don't know yet. That story is still to be written. But you know what? This actually creates opportunities for local communities. Okay, we can't go and watch our national sports being played, you know, if it's A-League or other sports, but maybe there's opportunities for local communities all over the world to be just playing, let's just say football in Africa, in Tonga, whatever, just in their local communities, come together, film that and send it back to, you know, to worldwide audiences. Maybe there's opportunities there.
See the Belarusian first division. Like, they're like the only league that is currently playing at the moment. And they're getting huge traction. I know it's a joke, but, you know, you never know. You never know.
No, you're right. You know, it's a new world. It's really going to be a new world, and there's going to be new opportunities out of it. So maybe there's something for really grassroots games to actually create that it might be, I don't know. It's like, you know, like the first division in Tonga, for example, you know, let them play, let it be broadcast, and we'll be watching it on television in Australia because we won't be able to watch the A-League. Who knows?
That's what I believe with the exposure, especially in Australia. We are a very multicultural country.
Yeah.
And one of the guys I know at Football Nation Radio, he broadcast the African Cup. I'm not sure what it's called.
Oh, yeah. African Nations. Yeah,
African Nations Cup, that's right. And to see these talents not get the opportunities to necessarily play at NPL standard clubs when they are really at that standard, to give these guys the foundation to sort of, well, no pun intended, to get these necessary equipment to get to a standard, get to a level, to give these guys a foundation, whether it be through live streaming, through these extra opportunities that these other gigantic clubs across the world can come to these disadvantaged communities, not only in Australia, but in Africa, wherever it be.
Yep.
Just to give them a foundation to enjoy the game, to enjoy the round ball.
Yeah.
It's a round ball project.
There you go. We'll call it the round ball project.
It is the round ball project. This is the podcast. And could not think of a better guest to have on today, Kevin Milstein from the Reagan Milstein Foundation. Just like to ask, I'm sure you've had an innumerable amount of stories coming from the countries where you've given equipment to. What's been one of your favorite stories that have come out of these countries or communities?
Look, it's an absolute pleasure to see photos come back from teams that are wearing kit that local clubs gave us. So, you know, I often post up on our Facebook page. If I'm getting photos coming back, I'll post it up and say, hey, this is a team in Kenya that, you know, is wearing gear from Moreland Zebras, you know. And actually, funnily enough, that recently happened where I have sent a lot of Moreland Zebras gear off to a particular village in Kenya, and they've now actually named the nickname for their team is the Zebras, which actually just fits, you know, Zebras Africa, all of that sort of thing. So, you know, it's a pleasure to see that. But I do have to say that I had a personal experience, and this is going back about 9 years or so. We were delivering gear in Samoa, in the Pacific, and we'd sent over a few quite a few boxes of stuff, and it was all put out on the table and it was all presented, and communities came around, and there was one kid picked up a pair of boots. And there was a little bit of a preamble before that about saying, hey, look, all this is for you guys and da-da-da-da-da. So after the presentation, this one kid went over to the table, picked up a pair of boots, and I happened to be standing there, and he picked them up, and he looked at me, and he said, are these boots for me? He couldn't believe it. And I said, well, I'm not sure if they're actually for you. We have to get the right size, but yes, you can talk to your team manager or coach, and maybe you can get a pair of boots here. And the look on his face that he was actually going to get a pair of boots for the first time in his life was unforgettable. Totally unforgettable. And we don't appreciate that sort of stuff here.
For people like myself,
yeah,
a pair of boots is just something,
yep,
that you just pick up. Whereas to these guys in these less fortunate communities, it means everything to them. And to have that courage to sort of pick up a soccer ball and play with it, and to have just that, I don't think people appreciate. I really hope during this crisis that people appreciate. I think people are beginning to appreciate. These 2 weeks without football have felt like 3 months.
Yes,
and it really shows how heightened and how important this integral aspect of having a football in, you know, within your feet or in your hands, whatever. It's really, really important that we continue.
Yes,
to get people engaged within the game. Yeah. And I think definitely across these less fortunate regions,
yes,
to give these guys the opportunity to play. I know I keep repeating it all the time, but it goes back to the same integral principle. To have football in your hands or beneath your feet, whatever, kicking it to someone, whatever it is, you cherish those moments. It's a basis for family, friendships, whatever. Yeah. To have that communal knowingness that you're playing a game that you love.
Yep.
Well, I hope you love it, because football is the best game in the world.
Without a doubt.
it's just unbelievable. It really is. And to see the story of the Reagan Milstein Foundation from its inception to where it is now, this has the potential to be, I'd say, one of the biggest foundations that we know in our Australian footballing community. I think it already is. But this sort of leads me on to one of my final questions.
Yep.
Where do you see the foundation in the next couple of years? You spoke to me about this the other day.
Yeah.
Just besides that, you know, what are your goals? You know, who do you seek to, you know, which countries do you seek to travel to, et cetera?
Okay, well, look, I guess this is kind of like a bit of a call out to the football community out there. Whoever's listening, look, there's two hurdles, okay? So we've been going for nearly 10 years, and most of it's just basically self-driven by myself, my family. You know, we've had support from the football world, don't get me wrong, but a lot, you know, 99% of the work is just basically done here at home. There's two hurdles that I see is that it's because it's kind of, I guess you could kind of call it a cottage industry, that we can take it to the next level because there's so many opportunities out there, but we need people
like-minded individuals.
Well, like-minded, sure. I would like to say that probably better business heads than mine to actually take it to that next level and see what can be done with a foundation like this. The other thing that I have to say is that by far the biggest expense within the foundation is freight. Either collecting gear from
parts. Even more so now, considering the crisis. Yeah.
Well, basically,
you'd only expect that those prices would be, you know, increased.
Yeah, well, you know, right now we're basically closed down, you know, at the moment, you know, for the next few weeks or so until things sort themselves out. But you know, the freight of bringing goods into the foundation from different parts of Australia, and certainly the freight of going out to different communities. And I put it out to the football world out there, if there's business people that want to get involved, there's business people that want to help us out with the freight costs and all of that, yeah, please contact us. Go to our website. You've linked it there, but it's www.rmf.world. Or you're welcome to contact me through the website and, you know, we can talk about how we can improve the world with a round ball.
In terms of being involved with our grassroots clubs within Melbourne and Australia broadly, who have you decided to partner with, and where do you see those partnerships sort of going on forth?
If you we're non-partisan. It's a ball. It rolls anywhere. It doesn't have to particularly roll into.
Because, you know, if you're getting clubs like Moreland Zebras giving uniforms, obviously there must be some contact established before.
Oh, yes. And look, and we, you know, Bulleen Lions have been a huge support over the years. And South Melbourne, and particularly South Melbourne Women's Club. And, you know, there's all sorts of different clubs, grassroots clubs, NPL clubs, my local club, Maccabi FC, the next door club, Glenira FC, all of these local community clubs. And because we're connected in through Football Victoria, and look, I also have to say is that because we were Melbourne Victory fans, we're Foundation fans from, you know, so from the beginning. And when Reagan took ill, they supported us very nicely. And we've got that connection with Melbourne Victory. But then Melbourne Heart came along and we worked with them. Now Western United have come along. We've worked with them. We've also had donations of gear coming in from Adelaide United, from, I think, from Brisbane Roar at some stage. But so... we're non-partisan. We just it's not necessarily that we partner with any particular club. It's just we partner with football in general, and even having said that, I mean, we've had hockey gear donated, AFL gear donated, and it all ends up getting used. The only thing that where it's the difficulty is if you start getting things like hockey sticks, cricket bats, that kind of stuff. That
it's not really. Yeah, attributed to, because, you know, the round ball game is the world game. So,
well, no,
you know,
it's just hard to transport. That's what the
problem. Oh, yeah, sure. The logistics are a bit difficult. But I'd just like to say, for donations, where can everyone donate their gear if they please?
Well, look, again, if you go to our Facebook page, we're easy to find, Reagan Milstein Foundation on Facebook, or go to the website rmf.world. You can contact us and, you know, we'll arrange pickups, and or you can drop off in areas or whatever. So that's an easy one.
I would just like to go on with my personal experience. I go to, well, at my school, we have every year I forgot what it's called. It's like Sports Week, and there's a bin outside each classroom. Yep. And we are meant to put gear into those bins. And to even have that just across other schools or in communities, maybe that's something that I'm sure has been looked at before. But, you know, if any school or any organization, please get in touch with Kevin and everyone at the Reagan Milstein Foundation team, especially during these times of crises. A lot of these communities are going to have very tough times ahead of them. So to give them any gear or anything really that will suffice, I'm sure.
We've taken school gear too, because again, like I said earlier, we work with different organizations, and some of the organizations they like to have school gear. So we will, if a school contacts us and says, hey, listen, we've got all of our school gear left over, books and pens and whatever it is, yeah, no problems, I'll come and collect it. It's not a problem, and then I'll take it to the person that's actually going to use it. So nothing gets wasted.
Well, I think this is probably the most outstanding interview I've had in a very short time I've had here on this podcast. This one will be going up, well, soon. We've got 3 done so far. Have more done very soon. Kevin, just like to thank you so much as someone I hold pretty close now in the footballing community, someone who has honestly really helped me get into the footballing world. Started last year when I was coaching at Maccabi, and now I've obviously ventured forth into FNR and writing a little bit there and there. Thank you, Kevin, for today and just for everything you've done for me personally. No. And yeah.
Again, it's about creating the opportunities. You've got to grasp it in your hands. You've got to run with it. So that's what it's all about.
And hopefully when we speak to each other in the next couple of coming months, we'll reassess and see how the foundation, as well as the club, Maccabi FC, have progressed. Have a great day, Kevin, and speak to you guys. The Round Ball Project returning soon.